Hello?
Hey, is that Kevin Salas?
Yes, it is.
All right. Welcome, man. We finally got all the technical issues ironed out here. So
Sweet.
we have both Connor and Kevin here, very special guests. I'd like to introduce them both a little bit and let you know why they're both here and what you guys are going to be able to learn from both of these guys, because they're each bringing unique experiences to the table, and there's definitely a lot to learn. So, welcome, guys. Thank you for joining us.
Thank
Glad to
you.
be here.
All right, let's start off, Connor, if you don't mind. Let's just hear a little bit about your story here for a couple of minutes, and just let everybody know who you are and why you're here.
All right, sure. Let's see, I'm 26, originally from the East Coast. Kind of got into your guys' gig a couple months back. Came to Vegas for one of your events. What up to anyone that was there that's on the call?
That was the Attraction in Action event, by the way.
Yes, correct. Came to Vegas for one of your events, made friends with you guys. Turns out we all live in the same neighborhood. We've been hanging out, going out. I guess I got into this whole scenario after a particularly bad breakup. I guess those things, as they tend to do, kind of force you to look at yourself and decide you want to make some changes. And I just kind of committed to this thing, and wanting to make some life changes. Yeah, brought me here. Met Joshua, met you and Jay, and yeah, the rest is history.
All right, cool. Thanks for sharing that. Basically, Connor, he's from the DAO community and has gotten the opportunity to learn with us, and he's got a lot of unique skills, I'd say, that I've been able to see in action that I think a lot of guys will be able to learn a lot from. So we'll definitely be checking back with you, Connor, and kind of get your opinion on a lot of things we talk about tonight here.
Sure.
And Kevin,
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
yeah, we can hear you fine.
Sweet.
And yeah, it's truly an honor, man. I've been a big fan of your work for quite a long time. I know we've gotten to hang out in the past, but
Is this Brad?
this is indeed Brad, yes.
Oh, okay.
The one and only. I believe the last time we hung out, you we're walking through a crowded dance floor with two girls trailing
I love
behind you.
crowded dance floors.
I know that's the natural habitat of the Kevin Salas.
Thank you. No, I really appreciate. Honestly, I really appreciate you saying that. You're a fan of my work and everything. That means no. It means a lot to me. I really appreciate it, man. I haven't heard that in a while, so thank you.
Really? Oh man, I've always been like, from the first time I ever heard you talk, I was like, that guy's a genius. So it's just really an honor to have you here, and really an honor to have you coming on board. Hey Connor, I'm gonna mute you here for a second. We got some noise coming through. He will comply. Okay. So yeah, I've been taking your advice here for a few years now, since I first heard you on various podcasts and got to meet you in person. And I'm really excited because this is kind of a big announcement actually for the DAO community. But Kevin is coming on board as one of our brand new coaches. So welcome, man.
Thank you, man. It feels really good, man. I didn't want to work for any other coaching company besides you guys because. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Kevin.
I didn't really want to work for any other coaching companies. I've gotten a lot of offers before, and I honestly, that's why I say it's been a while because honestly, it's been a year since I've coached anybody, whether it's been personal or like in a group setting. It's been a year, and I'll get offers from people, and I've always said that I was done with coaching. But as soon as Josh called, I was like, "Are you kidding me?" Yeah, of course. So
Well, look,
definitely.
you and I both know that Joshua Pellisier does not hand out coaching recommendations lightly. I mean, he's probably coached thousands and thousands of guys over the years, and there's only literally a handful of people he's ever asked to be a coach, and I know that you were definitely highly recommended, and I mean, this comes straight from Joshua. Basically, take notes when Kevin Salas is talking, because this guy's
so much pressure
good. So if you don't mind, Kevin, I mean, I know a little bit about your story, but could you just like talk to us a little bit, just kind of let us know how you got here. Sure.
Yeah, I'll make it quick, because I don't want to keep everybody from all the content and everything, but, you know, it's always good to hear how someone has found, because, you know, ultimately, we all come, from, you know, we're all just guys, and we come across this stuff, and you know, then we you know, go on our journey. You know, I was just in college, and yeah, I mean, similar to other stories, I went through a breakup, and lucky enough to even have a girlfriend, but, you know, went through a breakup, and just, honestly, this is really what it is, and I don't tell too many people the story. It's like, I was at a bar, saw a really hot girl, sitting at the bar, and I felt something in my stomach, you know, and I mean, I must have gone through this before, but this was the time that it really, like, hit me. It's like, I felt something, and I was like, damn, this girl's hot, you know, like, I want to talk to her. I would love to date a girl like this, but I was paralyzed. Like, I couldn't talk to her. I couldn't move. I couldn't do anything. All I could do was think. And, you know, all I thought about was, like, how come? Like, why can't I just go and talk to her? What are these things that's holding me back? And, of course, all society and all the conditioning comes in. Oh, well, you know, you don't have enough money. Oh, you're not tall enough. Or,
right.
Oh, crap, whatever. And, you know, I didn't like that. I didn't like it at all. And you know, I was, lo and behold, the pickup community was there. I don't know if anybody in the call is familiar with the pickup community, but got into, like, reading about dating and social dynamics and came across some of Josh's material, was lucky enough to meet up with Josh. We ended up working together for, like, the next 3 years. He was initially my coach. Then I was lucky enough after a year to become a coach for him, and, you know, learning how to pick up women was a huge thing for me. It was huge.
Yeah.
But another major point of my life and learning how to do things was learning how to become a coach, and he definitely kicked my ass and learned. You know, I would say the biggest thing that I got from learning how to pick up women was the fact that I could learn how to do anything. You know, so like after that, you know, it's like anything that I would say, you know, I know we're only talking about women here, you know, but, you know, whatever it is that you want to do in your life, it's completely possible. You could learn how to do it. I don't know who said it, but, you know, if one man can do it, the next man can, you know, and that's how I've always felt. And, yeah, man, you know, like I, you know, that's pretty much it.
That's awesome. Yeah. And, you know, this is our founding members club. We announced last week that, we will be closing the founding members club. So the guys who are in it now are, you know, really the guys who are really serious about taking on self-improvement in all aspects of life. Of course, I mean, we start off with, of wanting to, you know, really master the domain of, you know, meeting women and social dynamics and stuff. But of course, I mean, that's been a huge thing that I've come across as well. Once I started getting better at communication and better at social dynamics, is realizing that it is a skill just like everything else. And, you know, I'd love to, maybe on a later phone call, talk more about some of the principles that, you know, you've sort of seen in action when you were learning other skills. And I think that's definitely something valuable that we can share with the community. But, I know for sure that you're one of the few guys who had the distinct privilege of being trained personally by Joshua. And, that puts you in a pretty good place to give really fantastic advice. So You might as well jump right into some of the content, and I'd really love to hear what you have to say about this stuff, because you've taught it quite a few times, you've coached a lot, and you've definitely been through it enough times. So thanks for the intro, Kevin.
Thank you.
And welcome aboard. I'm sure everybody's going to hear a lot more from you in the coming days. So what we're started to talk about now is something you're pretty familiar with, Kevin, and that's banter. Now, we already have gone through, you know, sort of the basics of banter earlier in the Founding Members Club calls, and if you haven't heard more about that, you can go ahead and go to the Founding Members Club download page and look for the archive of all the calls that we've done, and you can go back and I believe it was one of the first calls that we did, so I think we're up to about almost 30 calls now. So you can go back and check that out if you want to kind of get the basics of banter. But what we want to do is sort of talk a little bit more about the advanced banter skills. And one of those things is combining body language with the different stages of interaction and specifically with banter. So why don't we go ahead and start talking about that. And Kevin, if you don't mind, I'll kind of hand the floor over to you and give us your sort of overview of banter and some of the more advanced techniques that you've kind of picked up. And Connor, I'll go ahead and unmute you too. If you have anything, just go ahead and throw it in there.
Sounds good.
Alrighty. Brad, just to let you know, Brad, this is, you're leading this call here, man. I'm all yours.
Oh yeah, of course.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know,
yeah, yeah.
I definitely appreciate you handing me over the floor. As far as banter goes, we're talking about banter here and like advanced banter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first thing that comes to mind, especially in a boot camp, you know, we go and these guys have, I'm guessing, you know, these guys have there's, what are those noises?
I don't know. I think I'm actually going to have to mute you again, Connor. We got a lot of background noise.
Okay. So I'm sorry, man. It's just, yeah, it's like in both ears right now. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. We're good.
So the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, a boot camp. You know, we talk about attraction, and we go into the idea of flirting. You know, we don't necessarily use the terminology flirting. You know, we call it attraction. You know, there's, I would
flirting
say,
seems to be more like the girly definition of attraction and banter.
Right. Right, you know, like the mainstream way of calling it. So, like, you know, there'll be three stages to attraction, you know, open, demonstrate higher value, and then qualify.
Mm.
Open, it has to do with is body language and being seen and making yourself noticed. When it comes to DHV and qualifying is a whole other thing, but let me know if I'm, you know, running on a tangent here.
No,
but
I was actually just thinking that one of the first things that I remember learning from you specifically, the first time I heard you on a podcast, had to do with sort of showing up on the radar, and that was the fake hello, you know?
Right, yeah, and, you know, the fake hello, okay, so, you know, fill people in, the whole fake hello is like, you know, I'll walk into a bar, I'll walk into a club, whatever venue, and, you know, to get yourself warmed up, to get yourself, you know, in the mood of approaching women, because it's tough, man. If you walk into a bar at, like, 1 a.m. and you haven't talked to anybody and you want to start approaching girls, it's a little tough. So, you know, you come in a little bit earlier, maybe 10 p.m., and, you know, you want to get yourself warmed up because, you know, honestly, like, you know, the first or second girl you talk to, you know, may not be completely accepting of your approach. So, you know, I like to warm up, and I like to call those first few approaches warm up. So I do, you know, I'll do things even before that. You know, I just get myself in a playful mood, like in a bantering kind of mood. So I'll walk into the club or the bar, and, you know, I'll actually point into a crowd of people and as if, like, somebody was actually responding to me and pretend that and wave at random people that are. It's just a playful. It's just making myself laugh, really. Like ultimately,
yeah.
Like the banter and flirting and being playful is really what is. How are you going to entertain yourself? Because it's really about you and your frame of mind, your state of mind. Because a girl's not going to be playful and laughing, giggly if you're not. So,
right.
You know, I walk in and I start to have fun. So I'll walk into a bar, you know, and I'll start to point at people, start to wave, and I make a joke out of a lot of things. Really, is what I'm trying to say.
That's bringing up your own state. It's like making you laugh, sort of on the inside, which lets everybody see that you're a playful guy. And at the same time, it's actually taking advantage of sort of an old body language tactic that I don't know if you knew this, but I recently learned that politicians are coached to do this sort of thing as well when they're on TV and they're in a big crowd of people. They're actually coached to point to people in the crowd as though their dear friends are there, you know, like, oh, hey, it's Kevin. There he is, you know, but really, they don't know anybody in the crowd, but they're instructed to like point and smile at people. So psychologically, when people are watching on TV, or even from the crowd, they think, oh, this person knows people in the crowd. You know, they're connected. So, I mean, at the same time, you know, internally you're getting this like playful thing going. You're kind of laughing at yourself because you're waving to nobody. But externally, nobody knows if you're waving to somebody in the back or whatever. They all think you walked in and started waving to your friends. And so subconsciously they all, you know, lock in the fact that you have friends here. You know, you're a popular person. Like even if they're not thinking about it consciously, that somewhere they know that you're a popular guy, you know?
Right. Right. And the justification for, you know, walking into a club and, you know, and just pointing and saying hi is that if you understand the concept of frames, you know, the stronger frame always wins. The positive is a very important thing. That's why I'm smiling and laughing and carrying on. It's the positive frame.
I'm sorry, could you say that again? I wasn't listening. No, I'm kidding. If you know anything about frames, that's like a negative. A way to break somebody's frame and whatever.
Totally.
Anyway, sorry, Kevin. Go ahead.
So yeah, definitely. So if I'm going to say the majority of people are just walking through life asleep, man. They're not conscious. They're not aware. They're not trying to do anything. When you're doing pickup or doing anything like this, you are conscious, man. You know what you're doing. You know why you're doing it. You know, so if you're able to take control and say, okay, I'm going to be positive. I'm going to be open. I'm going to be social. You know, I'm going to be popular. I'm going to be this guy. Everybody's just going to accept you like that. Because it's a stronger frame. So that's ultimately what I was trying to say.
That's beautiful, yeah. And you can sort of, like you're saying, I mean, obviously having the stronger frame is the goal, but to get yourself there, what are some of the other tricks that you have that you use to, like maybe before you could sort of generate that internally on your own, waving the fake hello, you know, that's a tool that you use to build that stronger frame. Do you have any other sort of standby tools that you use?
It you know, it's tough because, you know, I've coached a lot of guys and, you know, something that always came up, like when guys gave me feedback or like, you know, when I made friends with a client and, you know, we talk after, and they would typically say the same thing. They're like, oh my God, man. Like, how do you just walk into a club and you know, you're like having fun, you're doing like, you know, like, you know, where do you get it from? And really when it comes down to it, it's all mental. It's like, well, it's all mental. The best way to put it is like, you're almost like getting rid of your mind. In fact, because your mind is always going to be telling you, this is not right. This is not what normal people do. This is weird, you know.
Right.
You know, nobody just goes into a place and acts like they know people. So, I mean, you really just have to shut up your brain. Like, you really shut it out. A lot of guys do this through, you know, liquor or whatever, but we all know that where liquor gets you, you become a obnoxious asshole, you know. So it doesn't really help, you know, you're not really going to – and plus, you don't remember.
I actually start off as obnoxious asshole and get nicer as I drink.
You become super nice. So I
get
you real drunk and you do all my chores.
Yeah. Talk about feelings.
But yeah, no, like, it really, you just got to get at, like, your mind, like, if I could tell you, I don't know, you know, if you guys have any information on this, or if you have any exercises on, you know, trying to control your inner dialogue, really, it's your inner dialogue, the voice that is, you know, that voice in your head. Everybody has this voice in your head, and if you're saying, I don't have a voice in my head, well, that's your voice in your head. you have to really shut it up, and there's a lot of different ways to do it. You know, I mean, you could actually say, shut up. You know, there's the way that I like to do it is to be social, because there's either two ways you can be. You could be in your head, or you could be in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And being in the moment consists of being social, you know, talking, talk, you know, being active, you know.
Definitely being curious.
Listening to what other people are saying, being curious. You know, so if you could be social, be curious, be listening, being curious definitely branches off to a lot of different things, because as silly as it sounds, you know, you could be at a bar and just looking around, and what most guys tend to do is they start to get in their head, oh, tomorrow I have to do this, or
mm-hmm.
or where's Jenny? Jenny didn't call me back, or whatever. But if you were just to be curious about the world around you, like, start to ask questions. Hey, man, what's that? What is she drinking over there? Or like,
yeah.
Look what she's wearing, or whatever, like. You know, start to be present, start to be in the moment. I believe that is like a huge factor when it comes to getting yourself to the place where you can do what I said initially, like walking into a place and start to give off this vibe that, oh, I know everybody, I'm popular, hi everybody, and everything. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course. And you know, what you're saying about frames earlier, when you start going around being curious, talking to this person, that person, and you're going around the bar, you know, that's, it's a cumulative effect, you know, it's like a snowball, because the first time you talk to one group of people, and then the three surrounding groups see you talking to that one group, and then you go and talk to the second group, and then three different groups see you talking to them, and then, you know, it just like builds and builds and builds, and by the end of the night, or, you know, within a short amount of time, really, I mean, all of the groups that you haven't talked to yet think that you know all the other groups, because nobody really knows. When you walk into a bar, you have the opportunity to invent yourself every single time you walk in, unless it's somewhere you're a regular or something, but especially in nightclubs, too, because those environments change so much more dramatically every night.
Right.
So basically, you're going around building the...
I like to say, personally, for me, like, especially with bar walking, I don't know
mm-hmm.
if you guys, like, cover bar walking.
Yep.
I like to talk about it like this, that if you're going around and people are accepting of you, like, they accept your presence, like, they don't even have to acknowledge you. That's another thing. They don't even have to acknowledge you. If you are holding your positive frame, like, even
mm-hmm.
if you walked up to a girl and all you said was, hey, how's it going? And, you know, you kept walking.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe she were to reject you, but since you just kept walking and you just kept bar walking everything, ultimately everybody's going to see that as some kind of acceptance. So that's kind of what I'm trying to get at, is like building that acceptance of people around you. When you do approach that girl, there's already that unconscious belief that people accept you, people like you. So it's a lot easier for her to accept you. There's a huger chance that you're not going to get rejected.
Right. And that's exactly what we mean by demonstrating high value, you know. And that's how you build value, is you can start off with very little risk maneuvers, I guess. Like you were saying, you're talking about the runaway awesome guy technique where, you know, you'll just walk by a group of people and be like, oh, hey, there you are. I'll be back in a second, you know, and just keep walking.
Right.
Or the drive-bys, you know, just constantly doing drive-bys around the bar as you're doing your bar walk. And every time you do that, all the other people around you are seeing it and being like, oh, yeah, he's accepted. You know, oh, he's a social guy. Oh, they must know each other. He has a lot of friends, you know. And then so you're just building this acceptance. You're building this value. You come back and sort of, you know, you sort of plant the seed in groups that you're going to talk to them and that you're going to be friends with them. And then you walk away and sort of let it, you know, blossom while you're gone, and then come back and reap the rewards. You have your value with that group, and you can just keep doing that. And by, like you said, by the time, I mean, what this ultimately leads to is when you're approaching women, each time you go around and talk to these different groups of people, she sees you subconsciously as a more and more socially valuable person. So it's really the way that we can start off with essentially, I mean, no tangible value in a new environment and the experience with a lot of value. And this is how you do it, you know, the bar walks and just being playful and silly and funny. And I think that's a really good summary. I'm going to ask Connor here. I know he's got quite a lot of experience with this, and I kind of want to see what he has to say.
Sweet.
You there, Connor?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay, cool. Yeah, I love what you guys are saying about, you know, getting out of your head when you're in kind of a high-stress social environment. You know, like, you definitely don't want to be in your head. It's not the place to be. And it's kind of hard to figure out, like, how to do that. And Kevin, I love, you know, what you're saying about just going around to everybody as if, you know, you're supposed to be doing this, you know? Like, it's something that kind of feels unnatural if you don't do it a lot. And the more you do it, the more your frame, as you said, kind of becomes that of, I'm supposed to be talking to you guys, even though I don't know you. Like, I'm just, this is a totally normal thing for me. I do it all the time. And when your frame is like that, people do just accept it because they want to just go along with, you know, wherever you're leading them. And I think one thing that really kind of helped me realize this is just realizing that, you know, when you're out at a bar or a nightclub or anywhere else, you know, and you look around, most people are kind of grouped into circles or like groups of people that all know each other. They're kind of hanging on there. And I realized, you know, everyone else is just as much in their head as you are. And I realized too that out, and I have the most fun and I'm the most outgoing and out of my head are times when there's like a party with a lot of my friends or somebody's day or day where I'm kind of acting like a host and kind of taking responsibility to make sure that they're having fun. And I realized that, you know, when I started worrying that everyone else was, you know, trying to make sure that everyone else in my group was having fun, I was instantly out of my head, not worried about myself at all, not thinking about anything except, you know, the present moment and everyone around me, and everything was way smoother and more fun. And way, way more girls were just open to talking to me and open to joining my group. And yeah, most of the time it's when I just kind of put my focus on everyone else and make sure that they're having fun and feeling validated and feeling like they're part of the group, and completely, you know, out of my own head.
So, yeah, that's great, Connor. I'm just wondering, so what would you say your experiences were like, before you really started realizing this, like this, and taking on this sort of social ambassador role? What were your experiences typically like when you would go out to bars and clubs with friends?
You know, kind of tense, I guess. Kind of, I drank a lot more. Obviously, as Kevin said, you know, you get in your head a little bit, and most people think, all right, well, I just need to drink a little bit more, loosen myself up, you know? And that never really worked for me. Just weird, because it seemed to work for a lot of my friends. They seemed to just care a lot less about things the drunker they got, and for me, you know, being more introverted, it just made me more closed off to the moment and everything going on around me. And I guess before I really started, you know, I read Josh's book and met you guys and started making these changes. when I'd go out, I'd kind of just be nervous before I went out. I would kind of dread going out. I wouldn't look forward to it as like a fun thing to do. It would just be like, well, I'm not going to meet girls sitting at home, so I guess I'm going to go do this and force myself to do this uncomfortable thing. And it was really hard to find the fun in it. And it sucked because I felt like everyone else but me was having fun, and I didn't know, like, why that was, you know?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying there, and I think a lot of guys who are listening will be able to relate to that, because I think that there's a point at which at least guys who, you know, who are like us in that regard are looking at other people having fun going out and thinking it sounds like more of a chore or like it's like you know you're capable of more, and yet at the end of the night you figure you're probably gonna just go home drunk or alone or both, and once you start to really put this stuff into action and start to sort of change your expectations of how you're going to behave and what's normal for you, and you put yourself in these situations where you're growing, then you start to get to a point where you go, wow, that actually was really fun. I mean, even if there are a few sort of mishaps or miscalibrations or rejections even, you know, it starts to be fun. It was like, wow, that was kind of hilarious, you know, and not in like a defensive way, like genuinely, you're like, wow, I learned a really great lesson there, you know?
Yeah, definitely. You had a great experience. That's always what the most, you know, fun boils down to for me, is just having like an interesting, fun experience, meeting a new person, doing something. And, you know, I always feel the things that you read about, like getting shot down or rejected, don't too often. And like you said, even when they do, it's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, and I really do think that a lot of guys will be able to relate to that experience of sort of not understanding when this is supposed to be fun. You know, like it sounds like it should be fun, going out and meeting people, meeting girls, and learning how to, you know, pick up girls or whatever. It sounds great, but it seems like an impassable, you know, gap there for a lot of guys, and I just want you to know that it's absolutely understandable if you feel that way, and it's totally something that you can get through. You just, you know, stick with your brothers in the DAO community, and that's what we all go through. I mean, I think Kevin, you probably had a similar experience where before you really started going out and kind of getting this stuff down. And it might be a little harder for you to remember. I know that was probably a few years ago, but I know for me it's been a pretty recent thing, and I can really draw from that experience of thinking like, oh man, I don't know how I could ever possibly get to that point where I'm like really comfortable going out and doing all these things that, you know, I see other people do. I don't know.
Hold on, just give me a second right here. Okay, I'm back.
All right.
I was listening to you guys, and I was like, you know what? You guys made a great point. Like, you know, we talk about, you know, being coaches, we've obviously experienced success. You know, we've experienced some kind of success because somebody had to say, oh, well, you're not bad with girls. So,
right.
Yes. We've experienced some kind of success, and so that's our fun in it. But, this is the point that I was trying to make. It's like when I lived in New York, I lived in a place with four other guys that were what we did, we lived pickup. Like, we went out, we did this, we taught guys, you know, we went out, we picked up girls on our days off, and we had our relationships, and everything was great. But, and now, at least for the past, it's been almost like 3 years now that I've been in what I like to call the real world. Like, I'm living in Miami now, and, you know, I have roommates. You know, this guy is girlfriend. You know, I grew up here, so I'm around my family. I'm around the friends that I grew up with.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're great guys. Maybe once in a while you may find – well, actually, honestly, like, I only know one guy down here that I could go out with, and this guy has no shame. You know, he'll do whatever. He doesn't know anything about pickup, but he listens to everything I say, and he just talks a lot, and he gets away with a lot of things. The point that I was trying to make was, like, where does it become fun? Because guys are probably listening to this call, and they're like, is it really fun? Like, is it fun going out to the club and being like, man, I want to pick up a girl? Like, you know, there's times where it feels like a bit of a chore.
Yeah.
So, you know, how do you make it fun? So, like, I was talking earlier about warming up.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly think that, you know, I just was thinking about this just right now. It's like, Connor brought it up, really, and it got me thinking. I think the time that you're supposed to be having the most fun is during your warm-up. You know, like, when you're bar walking, you're walking around, and you haven't really had anything that you can call, something that you would tell your friend the next day, oh, my God, I had my arms around this girl, I was making out with this girl, whatever. But when you've just had, like, little conversations here and there, like, oh, this guy walked by me, and I said, hey, what's up, and he was funny or whatever, like, you need to make your warm-up, like, you're, before you really, like, get into it, like, talking to a girl and, like, staying there, you need to make your fun be the warm-up, like, I'm walking to a bar, like, what is it that makes you laugh, like, you know, we all have some kind of sense of humor, you know, like, you know, we all have, like, weird, different kind of sense of humor. So, like, what is it that makes you laugh? You know, like, what is it that attracts you? What is something that holds your attention? What do you like to talk about? What do you like to do? So make sure that you know these kind of things. If you have a piece of paper and pen, write down, you know, like, you know, what do I like? What entertains me? What do you do in your spare time? Do you watch comedians? Do you watch a certain TV show? Do you skateboard, you know, whatever it is, figure it out what it is that makes you smile, besides women, you know, what is it that, you know, really attracts you, figure that out, and when you go out to a bar, and you're really trying to get in that state of being an attractive male, and walking up to a girl with confidence, before that, you need to be able to go out and have a good time without having to talk to any women, without having to attract women, without having to get any kind of response, without having to get any kind of acceptance or anything like that. Because if you could go out and have a good time, you know, and honestly, it's tough being a guy, but if you could be able to do this completely on your own, like in your own mental state, like, you know, it's just me, Kevin, I'm going out to the bar, and I'm like, oh, man, that was a funny joke that I thought about before. So, you know, you lean over to the guy on your left, and you're like, oh, man, you know, like, I was watching this TV show, and this made me laugh, ha, ha, ha. You know, you start to get into state, and you start to have fun, and you start to appreciate yourself, and you start to appreciate all the things you like. And once you've got that, I think that's where you really find your fun, because it's tough to find fun. Like, you know, you go to a club, like, you know, not every guy likes to dance. Not every guy likes this music. Not every guy likes to drink. Not every guy likes this scene. You know,
right.
So you need to find something that you like about going out and really just hone it down and enjoy it. And once you're really having a good time, then you can start doing all the things that we teach you, and it'll be you'll start to attract women. If that makes sense.
And Kevin, I think you're kind of touching on a really good point too, is if there are any guys who are sort of thinking like, I don't know, I don't really like going out to bars, or I don't really like going out to clubs or whatever, you should really test out that belief, because now, I mean, if you're going out to bars with this knowledge that you have now, after you read the Tao of Badass, after you, you know, listen to these calls and go through a lot of the training and talk in the members area, you have a completely different perspective than you ever have any other time in your life. So when you go out to a bar now, it's with a whole new set of sort of understanding. You're going to be looking for new things. You're going to be learning how to see the matrix. And you're going to have a different sort of roadmap. And so my point here is that if you feel like you maybe aren't comfortable going out to a bar or a club or something, just pick the bar. I would start with a bar, a watering hole, you know, a bar, not one with like a lot of loud music or anything. Just if you're uncomfortable, like if you're haven't been out to bars for a while, whatever, just pick one that you are comfortable with and go there and just be there. Like, don't worry about talking to girls. Don't worry about using any of these techniques or banal lines or anything. Just go and just be there. If you have a friend, especially a friend, from the DAO community, of course, who's going to really understand why you're doing it and not be like, dude, you know, why are we here? You know, just go and just be there for a while. Like, just take it all in, you know, just look around, see what's going on and try as much as you can to just physically put yourself in a place where you're going to start seeing these things and start thinking about these things. Like, and I promise you that if you keep just kind of going out with no goal except just be more comfortable there, that in time, it could be a couple of days, it could be a couple of months, depending on, you know, your experience in the past and how comfortable you've been before in these social environments, but you will start getting more comfortable there and you will start to see these opportunities. They will just sort of, like, you'll start to just see things that you could never see before. And we call that seeing the matrix, and you'll start to see more and more of it. And honestly, if you're thinking like, well, yeah, but I don't really like bars or I don't really like loud music or whatever, just start going out, start putting yourself in those situations and start with something that's just slightly out of your comfort zone. And then keep ramping it up, you know, like once you get that, like say you start off at a dive bar and it's like, okay, I haven't really been going out for years or whatever, but I'll start going out here because it's pretty chill. Go out there. And then the next week after you've gone there a few times, just go to a little busier bar and then a little busier bar and then a little busier and then start going out to clubs. And then, you know, like you can do that for the daytime as well. Just if you start going out to a coffee shop or something, like, just even if you don't like coffee or whatever, it's just a place where you can talk to people. You know, coffee shops during the day are filled with people. They're all looking for opportunities to meet new people and have cool experiences. And yes, they're filled with lots of girls. So just go out to one, just pick a Starbucks, whatever, and just go there. Josh would punch me for saying that because he doesn't like Starbucks, but, I'm pretty unbiased when it comes to coffee shops. I like chains.
Have you picked up a girl at Starbucks before?
Yes.
I've never picked up a girl at Starbucks. Yeah, I like Starbucks.
At Starbucks? Yeah. Yeah. It got a little complicated later, but it was an interesting one. Yes.
Sorry for putting you on the spot there.
No. Coffee shops have yielded lots and lots of dates and numbers for me. It's been one of the most fun places. And for me, that was where I started. So I started going to one coffee shop in particular. And this was when I was like, I just had the jitters, you know, like I was just like, oh my God, I'm not getting anywhere with this. Like I'm terrified even just thinking of talking to a girl certainly not, you know, going through all the stages of interaction and everything. And so I went there and I didn't know anybody and I'd never been there. And I just kind of, I started off by learning the staff's names and kind of talking to them. And then, I started kind of like what you were saying, Kevin, I would just make offhanded comments, which in the past wasn't really like a natural thing for me. So I just did it, you know. I was just like, oh, I'm going to talk about the muffin in that muffin case to the person next to me and not really care about whether they want me to or not. And I just do it. And it was really that slow. I mean, that was like my first thing. The first day I did that, I was like, okay, well, that was kind of nerve wracking, but I kind of got it. And I just kept moving up and up and up. And now, you know, I go there and I see a girl and I'm just like, she's interesting. I'll go over and I just sit down next to her and start talking. You know, it's just like, there's no invitation. There's no like, whatever. She's just like, what the hell's going on? You know, he just sat down in the seat next to me, like, or across from me and just started talking. And, but I just, you know, I just like everybody to know that there is a bit of a process. And, I mean, if you're starting off with like, hey, I go out all the time and I just want to like amp things up, then that's great. You know, that's fantastic. We're definitely going to be able to help you there. But if you're thinking,
well, Brad, I don't mean to cut you off, but let me just say,
yeah,
that's amazing. The fact that you just sat down, like a lot of guys don't really, but you just sat down with a girl with, you know what I mean? Like that's big, man. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, you know, like, day game, most people call it, is not really my, you know, it's not really my cup of tea, only because it is hard. So that's why I really respect that. That's
thank
really
you.
Cool.
Thank you. It was definitely, like, I mean, I'm telling you, I started off at, like, the scaredest. I was just terrified. Like, I was just, the thought of talking to a girl in a coffee shop just literally made me sweat and made my face turn red. And that was without even seeing one, you know. So I just know that it's a process that you can go through as fast as you are willing to push yourself. But it is a process. It's like, it's a ladder, you know. I was just talking to a good friend of mine who is a jiu-jitsu instructor, and he referred to Bruce Lee's book. It's The Tao of Something. So I will let you guys know how it is. But he was talking about one of the lessons that when you're sort of learning something new. All right, Kevin, we got a lot of noise going through.
I'm in my. Okay, sorry, my car's making. My car's making some noise. Let me.
Okay.
If you want to mute me, man, you know, feel free. Sorry.
Okay. Well, anyways, I think we should be good now. But basically, you know, think of your sort of training, your growth, your learning as you're learning all this stuff from the Tao. Think of it as a ladder, and you're always going to be able to reach a rung or two or three above your head. But I mean, don't be too hard on yourself. Don't think that you have to get to the top of the ladder like the first day. Like, you can, but you're going to push yourself really hard, and that's okay. Like, some, you know, some guys are able to do that. And just like, you know, I know Connor, you are an animal, man. Like, I've seen you.
Well, Brad, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Kevin.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but you said that you could reach it on the first day. I don't mean to be an asshole or anything, but I honestly believe that you cannot reach this shit on the first day. Seriously, man. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't matter how good you are. I don't care if whoever's listening to this call, like, if you date a lot of women and then you just want to take it to the next level or anything, but, like, really, man, like, you cannot get this stuff overnight, man. There's a lot of things you have to deal with, man. And you know, a big deal of it has to do with yourself. But anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, that's totally cool. And that's kind of, you know, it's kind of my point, is that if you see yourself, you know, whoever's listening to this call, and you think, oh man, I'm not even close to that yet, you know, just realize that all of us have gone through this process. Josh went through this process too, you know, of learning it step by step. And we have, you know, sort of an advanced route. Like, we have this amplified experience because we have the sort of roadmap laid out in front of us, which is great. And we're getting to skip a lot of steps that guys over the other 10,000 years of human history have had to sort of learn the hard way. We get to speed through them relatively fast, but it's still work, you know, it's still a process, and don't be too hard on yourself if you don't think you're ready for some of these steps, because we've all had to figure out whatever it is we needed to get to the next step. That's what we do. So, for, you know, I know that some guys struggle with just even the thought of going out to coffee shops or bars and think that, you know, that's just not my scene or whatever. And I would challenge you to find a version of that that's most comfortable for you and just put yourself there, because if you're not in a position to start even thinking about the stuff that you're learning from Tao, then you won't actually be able to put it in place. So just go, and what I'm saying is just, you know, pick a bar and go out and just be there and then work up from there. Just use that as your starting point and continue, you know, pushing yourself as much as you can, and you will eventually be a badass for sure.
You were talking a little bit before about, like, how you were before, and I didn't get a chance to really explain, like, how I was before, like, through the whole introduction, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, I seem to be a very social person, and, you know, I get feedback from people that are like, oh, my God, like, you know, you get along with everybody or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, honestly, man, like, before this, I was the shyest person in the world. Like, I couldn't, like, it's making me right now stutter because I'm starting to, like, think about the way I was before. And, you know, I mean, I don't mean to keep everybody too long, but really, like, if you're a shy guy listening to this now, I really hate to hear the word shy, like, when people
mm-hmm.
say, oh, I'm shy or whatever, because really, I was that shy guy, man. Like, I was so shy that, like, growing up, like, as a teenager, you know, I would go out to dinner, like, with my parents. I couldn't
mm-hmm.
even talk to the waiter and tell her what I wanted. I had to tell my parents to tell her
mm-hmm.
because I felt so uncomfortable. And, you know, really going through all these things, and maybe these guys have experienced things like this, like, you start to go out and you start to talk to women, you start to make friends, and, you know, you become a totally different person, man. And people will accept you for who you are, because you accept you for who you are. So really what I'm trying to say is that I came from a place where I didn't talk to people. I was really insecure. I mean, you know, we all have insecure. I'm still a little insecure here and there, but
sure.
You know, really insecure. Like, you don't feel like you fit in. You don't want to say anything, upset people. Like, when you start to do these things, you become whoever you want to be. So if you can, and this is one of the first things that I ever did when I got into all this, was that I sat down and I visualized and I literally wrote down who I wanted to be. Like, I sat through it and I went through it like it was a movie. Like, say, I want to be this guy. I want to be the guy that could be standing there and there's like four girls around me and they're laughing and they love everything I'm saying, and I could say anything and they would love it. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? So, and any guy can do that, because if it's coming from me, you know, I may sound all cool, whatever, like I know what I'm talking about, but honestly, man, I was that guy that got picked on, that got told, I was a fat kid, like I got told all these really mean things, man. And you know, like, you can be whoever you want to be. Don't let people tell you who you are. Anyways, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm just.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for sharing that, Kevin. That's great. Yeah, it's just really important to keep in mind that it is really possible to build any sort of skill set that you want. And right now, you know, we're all working together to build this social skill set that we weren't given sort of naturally. So I think a lot of guys will really learn a lot from your experience, Kevin, because I think a lot of guys have come from a similar background. Real quick here, I know we are staying a little longer than usual just because we had some technical difficulties there in the beginning. So in the last, say, 10 or 15 minutes here, I'd like to just kind of talk a little bit about something that I'm sorry, we've got some beeping going on. Someone's phone. Okay. Just talk about how in the first stage, you know, it's going back to when we walk in and we're sort of warming up and going around, what's the sort of body language mindset that you want to have as far as like touch goes? And just talk a little bit more about that. Kevin, could you kind of go back into that mindset of where you were, just talking about what it's like when you walk into a place for the first time and what you do sort of with your body and what you do as you're going around doing a bar walk and sort of opening up these different groups and doing drive-bys and stuff. What typically is your idea there for your body language and also for touch?
Okay. For body language and touch, yes, I will cover that. But real quick, I appreciate you bringing this back because I thought of something. And when you asked me this question earlier, it just didn't come up. Real quick, mentality-wise, like when you're doing the bar walk, this is a great role to play. If you start to think yourself, like, and you were kind of saying, if you start to think of yourself as the host, like the host of the party, like, you need to make sure that people, not to make sure, but you need to, you need to make, you need to make sure that everybody's having fun, you know, like
it's all good, man.
Like you start to, it's just a noise. You play that mentality where it's like, you need to make sure that people are having fun. It's a great mentality to have. Like, you're the host. Obviously, you're not the host. You're, like, at a bar. But if you're walking around, hey, you having a good time? All right, okay. Like, you keep going. If you take that mentality, it's great for a few reasons. One, obviously, being the fact that you're not needing anything. Mm-hmm. You don't need approval of anybody. And you're also playing a power role. So I think that's, you know, that's a great mentality. That's what I do. Personally, like I act as if it's my party, or, you know, like maybe I work here. I got that question from girls before. Like, I'll walk up to a group of girls and I'll start bantering, whatever. Like, oh my God, do you work here? Like, you know, and they try and find some kind of justification for me talking to them. And since I came with that kind of mentality, is most likely why they've asked me that kind of question. So if anybody listening, like, you know, you want to, I don't know if any of these guys here has ever worked in a place where you were like the host and you needed to say, hey, welcome. Hi. You know, like I used to work at a place, I used to work at a retail store where I used to, I was pretty much the host. Like, welcome. How you, you tried our jeans and stuff like that. So if you take on that role in the bar where you're like, hey, how you doing? Welcome to the bar. You could say that because it's banter. Really, it's banter. Like, welcome to the bar. I'm so glad you made it. You know, like, take on that role. It's a great mentality to have. Anyways, moving on. So you said body language and touch. Body language is it's tough to keep up with, man, because, you know, the first thing that I think of when I hear body language is, I don't know if we're covering this, but, you know, the whole idea of keeping your shoulders back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do not want to be slouching. You don't want to – I mean, people could read it off you immediately. Like, the first thing that we learn about body language is that people are communicating how they feel about themselves all the time. Or people are communicating all the time. Like, if you're in a room with somebody and, like, three people aren't talking but two people are – those three people that aren't talking, they're still saying something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something about themselves. They're saying how they feel, their intentions, their desires. They're saying something, you know, and you can read that through body language. And typically the first thing you want to look for is, you know, the shoulders, you know, the posture.
Right.
You know, do they have their shoulders, you know, rolled back and straight? So, you know, guys, definitely – you know, make sure your posture is great because that's, like, the first thing. Well, actually, I've looked at some research the first thing that girls look at are shoulders. The second thing are biceps. And third, I don't know. But, you know, so, you know what I mean? It's not like they mean to look at these things. It's just, you know, it's just instinctual. So, you know, if you could hold your shoulders back.
And this starts a little bit before you walk in, right? I mean, this is not just like you don't want to walk in, like get your table or get your place at the bar and then go, okay, time to straighten up my shoulders and start being dominant, you know?
Yeah, time to start being cool. Like, no, you want to do it all the time. And, you know, the tough thing is, like, you know, we go about our daily lives. You have work. You know, maybe you have somebody, you know, you have, like, an ex-girlfriend that's being shitty to you or whatever. Like, you can't let your emotions dictate your body language. Because
right.
If you're in control of your body language will ultimately dictate your emotions.
Right.
I notice about myself, like, when I start to feel sad or depressed or whatever, like, I slouch. Like, I look down and I feel sad. And it's like, you know, maybe that day I decide, okay, fine, whatever, I'm going to feel sad. But if I want to be a confident majority, this is a good general rule of thumb, is like, you want to be a confident man, you want to go out and you want to meet women, then make the majority of your time being a confident man. Majority of your time, you want to have good posture. You want to make eye contact. You know, you want to talk with your hands. You want,
you know,
the,
Kevin, that actually,
present.
Sorry to interrupt you there, but talking with your hands, that's something that I was really going to, I was wondering if you're going to cover, and I'd like to talk about just briefly, because since we're talking about really like the first stage, you know, showing up as a blip on everyone's radar, showing up as a valuable person, hand movements, hand gestures are actually really, really important. So, especially if you're coming from a sort of introverted background, but even if not, like, whatever, you have to talk with your hands a lot. You have to move them around, take up as much space as you want. I mean, you don't want to be like completely recklessly flinging your arms around, you know, and not caring if you're going to punch somebody in the face, but really, I mean, you guys can't see this right now, but I'm actually, in my studio here and extending my arms like a wingspan, basically. Like, that's a gesture you should add to your repertoire. Like, if you ever see Josh in person, he does this a lot, and I sort of learned it from him, and it's basically taking up a lot of space, and, you know, that's a confident thing to do. And also, we've talked a couple calls in the past too, if you are introverted, moving your hands a little faster, it will seem really weird at first, but if you keep doing that, it actually picks up the energy with which you talk, and it actually makes you more extroverted, which is kind of crazy. But like you were saying, Kevin, you know, your body language dictates your subconscious mind, which, you know, it dictates your emotions, and it also can affect something like introvert, extrovert. Like, it can shift you to the side of more extroverted if you're moving your hands more, which you can just throw that in. Like, I'm doing it right now. You can just, whatever you're saying, as you're saying it, just start moving your hands around a bunch. And it will seem really weird at first, but you want to do this because you really want to have that, like, really curious, really silly, really fun, really playful guy mixed with like what you were talking about, Kevin, with having you know, a straight posture, that's just something I wanted to touch on. There was hand gestures that can be really important, and you definitely do not want to be sort of standing there, even if you're like smiling and talking about really interesting things. If you're not expressing that with your body, with your hands and your arms, then everyone around you isn't going to know. I mean, they can see that you're smiling, but you really have to add that like extra gestures.
Yeah, it's enthusiasm. It's being emphatic. It's funny because you know, I could, I'm, look, I'm a little guy. Most guys, I'm 5'5", you know, like I'm a little guy. So when I walk into a group of people, it's, you know, I have to hold their attention. And, you know, I talk a lot now only because I've approached so many women. So, you know, I just feel comfortable talking and I feel like people listen to me. But, like, man, the hand gestures, like, I love eye contact. Eye contact is great, you know, but I've also known guys, and I don't mean to confuse anybody here or anything, but I've known guys that are great at pickup that don't even hold eye contact, man. That they'll look away at everything, but the way that they talk and their hand gestures will keep people engaged. Like, and the hand gestures are a huge thing. Like, what was really the point I was trying to make here was that, like, you could say anything. Like, I'll talk, like, I used to be a waiter, right? So I would talk to somebody and they would tell me about work today. They'd be like, oh, man, I had to cut chicken or whatever. And it was, like, so boring. Oh, my God. I was like, God damn it, man. But I could talk about the same thing, but there's a few things. It's not only the hand gestures. There's a few things that make it so interesting and people really want to listen to me. One is the hand gestures, you know, like, you know, well, for a tip for guys, because they can't see us, is like, I can't think of anybody right now at the top of my head that has great mannerisms. But, you know, if you like to watch stand-up comedy, maybe check out some stand-up comedy, like, and you could see how they get really animated and they move their hands. If you have, like, a manager or, like, a boss that's really animated, try.
Maybe like Dane Cook, if you're talking about comedy. He's maybe on the extreme side of animated, but.
Right. Try to mimic that. You know, like, think about him while you're talking. I know it's a lot to think about, but, like, while you're talking, like, think, what would Dane Cook do in this situation? Oh, he'd be like this. You know, or, like, think about your boss. Maybe he's a real, you know, like, dominant person, so he's able to have that. There's that, and then there's also your tonality and the way that you talk and, you know, bringing your voice up and bringing your voice down and, you know, playing around with a lot of things that people are not used to. People will pay a lot more attention to the unpredictable rather than the predictable. Like if you're, you know, you're just one tone and you're talking, oh, today I cut chicken or whatever. But if you're like, man, today, dude, I cooked some chicken today. So, play around. I know it's a lot to take in for everybody, and it's not only, like, it's great for talking to women and everything, but, you know, like, also if you want to be that guy that could hold an attention of a group of people, you know, like, on the fly, like, it definitely captures attention. But, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's perfect. Connor, do you have anything to add? I know I'm sure you've probably been thinking here while we've been talking.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything that Kevin was saying. You know, you just want to have kind of a dynamic personality. And I don't think it has to be like a ton of hand gesturing. I don't usually gesture a whole lot with my hands. Or maybe I should. But I think a lot of it comes from your voice and the way that you speak to people and kind of the way that, especially in a group of people, the way that you kind of treat each individual person in the group and kind of keep them interested. I know a lot of times if I'm in a group and someone's talking, I can kind of feel myself kind of losing interest or not really paying attention or feeling like I'm not really a part of what's going on. And I think the people that I notice that really can hold attention well and are good speakers, they're always paying attention to everyone in the group, and they're making sure that no one is really, like, no one's really feeling left out like that. No one's really, really losing interest or anything. And whenever someone is starting to lose interest, they notice immediately and kind of pull that person back in and kind of keep their fire stoked up a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's about all I have to add right now.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. It's, you know, as you're going around and talking to different groups and different types of people, you're going to encounter a lot of things like that. Like, you know, maybe somebody in the back is sort of not paying attention, and there's a lot of different, you know, different things you can sort of use to to bring them back into it. But essentially, you know, you have to be aware of it first. So it's really good to pay attention to the group and, you know, see if anyone is sort of not paying attention and see if you can bring them in.
All it takes is one person, or especially when you're talking to a girl that you're interested in, all it takes is, you know, one person in that group to not want to talk to you anymore, and you're kind of out, you know. There's been a lot of times, you know, I'm sure everyone's had the experience where they're talking to a group of people and they like one girl in particular and they give her a little too much attention and her friends get a little bit annoyed at that. And I feel like if you do that at the wrong time, you're definitely going to lose the whole group. It's a really good skill to have to just be aware of everyone at the same time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Connor,
you know,
Connor, I think you have, like, great information about these things. I don't know if you're out there with the guys out in L.A., but are you out there with the – so, like, you're probably having, like, a lot of field experience, a lot of these things. Personally, I haven't had much field experience in the past year. I'll go out, you know, once in a while, whatever. So, you know, I would like, you know, for the next – questions or topics or everything, definitely for Connor to fill in, because what you're saying right now is definitely filling in a lot of holes that I feel like I'm missing. So, you know, that's all I have.
Okay.
For sure.
Actually, I believe we are just a little bit over our normal time, and I think we'll call it good here. We've started a little late, so we added a little extra time here. Thank you so much, Kevin and Connor, for joining us. I know the guys will be hearing a lot more from both of you in the future. Is there anything you guys want to add?
You know, just really happy to be on board and excited to you know, see where this goes.
Cool. I'm going to guess that Kevin maybe is not available at the moment, but
I'm sure.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I appreciate it. It's glad to hear from you guys. You know, can't wait, you know, to have a good time.
All right. Yeah, thanks again, guys. This has been awesome, and I'm sure all the founding members will thank you as well, and we will... I believe our next call will be, let me check that real quick. It will be on the 19th of April. So put that in your calendars or check the Founding Members Club download page where you can find all the archived calls and you can see a calendar there. And we will see you again on the 19th. Thanks, guys.